Welcome to Resurrection Sunday.
You've had a big breakfast. You're ready for your nap. Most of you are awake.
Amen.
We're going to John chapter 20 today, and we're going to read quite a bit of scripture, 31 verses at least. So follow along. Nobody can tell the story better than John. So we're going to let John tell the story. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Who's that? That's the one writing this. And saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Master. What do you call Jesus when you pray? She said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he saith to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." I doubt Thomas ever forgot that moment. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." And then he talks about us.
Amen. Amen.
"Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. After the crucifixion, Jesus is quickly wrapped in new linen, and he's placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, who was one of the council members. He is described as a good man and just. Luke tells us that he did not give consent to what was done to Jesus. The huge stone, which we believe sits today upon Mount Nebo, is rolled into its place and sealed by the guard appointed to watch over the tomb. The guard is appointed so that no one could come steal Jesus' body and then claim he is risen from the dead. As we already know, Jesus rose all right. After 3 days and three nights, real full days and real full nights, there are so many people trying to squeeze 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday morning. That's pretty fuzzy math. You just can't do it. Jesus rose, he vacated the tomb, and he did it without rolling the stone away. Later that same evening, Jesus appeared to the assembly of his disciples where they were meeting in secret. There's a lot of people that belong to the Lord that have to meet in secret today all over this world. We are still blessed that we don't have to meet in secret. But Jesus showed up today, and he's here now. And if you'll pay attention, you will sense his presence. So this little church that Jesus built himself, who were not all present at the time, Jesus begins preparing them for what is to come. For the next 40 days, Jesus meets with his church, preparing them and equipping them to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Salvation is finished, just like Jesus said it on the cross. But the Master's plan to bring that salvation to the world has just begun. Jesus is going away. He's going back to heaven where he belongs, where because of him we also belong. The task of taking the gospel into all the world is something that this little church was not equipped for. It was something far beyond their power or beyond their strength to accomplish. In 40 days, Jesus prepared, equipped, and empowered his church for this monumental task. Today, we're going to examine some of those key events of this 40-day period. After greeting his church with "Peace be unto you," his first words give them their mission. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's our mission today, folks. Lighthouse, that's the same. You'll find out why as we continue. Upon stating this, the Word of God tells us that Jesus gave them his Spirit. Jesus' first act of preparing his church was to fulfill something he promised to each and every believer. In John 20 and verse 22, it's when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. This fulfilled one of the promises that Jesus had made earlier on. Now, for the first time, the Spirit of God actually indwells the believer. Every saved person in this room has the Spirit of God dwelling in you. John 14 said in verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Today, when men place their trust in Jesus, they receive the indwelling Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." As you can see, I believe you can see this, without the Holy Spirit in us, we, just like they, were powerless when it comes to benefiting the kingdom of God. Next, after he gave them his Spirit, he also gave them something that people aren't too fond of today. He gave them authority. This business of authority may be the biggest issue of controversy among Christians today. You can't tell me what to do. Only Jesus can tell me what to do. You ever heard that? Worse, have you ever said that? Well, we'll just go start our own church. It's been tried. We're all the church, so we have just as much authority as you do. You believe that? That's not what this book teaches. We can teach whatever doctrine we want to. That's been said too. More often than said, it's been tried. I understand that our sinful nature causes us to dislike being under authority. But that doesn't make it okay. It is still sin. Still sin to rebel against God-ordained authority. It always has been. It always will be. Whether it be children or against their parents or police or the judge or the government or your church, to rebel God-ordained authority against God-ordained authority is sin. Take a look at the authority Jesus placed in his church. John chapter 20 and verse 23, he said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now, I know that this has to do with church discipline and the things surrounding that. And that's a pretty broad statement, so I'm not going to get into all the things that that means. But 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul said, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my Spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." That's a lot of authority to take on yourself. If Jesus didn't supply that authority, somebody's in trouble. But we know he did. Matthew 16 and verse number 18 says, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now the world's religion is going to tell you that rock is Peter. But if you really want to know who the rock is, you'd ask Peter. He will tell you that that rock is Christ. And he's a little stone. Christ is the chief cornerstone and he's a pebble. Nice to see all you pebbles here today. He said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I could tell you a lot about that promise. There's a lot more than I have time to get into today. But I want to tell you this, and I hope you won't forget it. Only a real church has Jesus' authority. Nobody else. When Jesus came into the room where the disciples were assembled the same day of the resurrection, there were not all of them present. 8 days later, Jesus met them again, this time with Thomas present. It said, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he saith to Thomas, reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Next, Jesus meets with them in Galilee. Matthew 28. Then the 11. Why is it just 11? Judas is gone. He's dead. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Thomas wasn't the only one, was he? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Does the Bible encourage us to study to show ourselves approved? Certainly commands it, as a matter of fact. The word power is used a couple of different ways in the scriptures. One of them is from the Greek word exousia, means authority. That's what this word is. All power, authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Have you ever read about the police force in Great Britain? Most of them don't carry firearms. I'm pretty sure that may not be the best idea in the world. They have authority. They just don't often have the power they need to back up that authority. This church didn't have the power they needed to back up the authority they were given. You see, Jesus did not just give his church authority. At the end of that 40 days, he gave them power. A different kind of power. To understand the doctrine of the church, to understand our commission, our job, and your part in it, there's some helpful facts that you should know. The Lord's church did not begin after the resurrection. Did you know that? Religious people in the world teach you that the church began on the day of Pentecost. That's not true. When Jesus said the disciples met him in a mountain where he had appointed them, that appointment had taken place 3 years prior. Jesus built the church while he was here. And it had been fully functional for nearly 3 years at this point that we're reading. In Luke chapter 6, it says that it came to pass in verse 12, in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them, how many disciples were following Jesus back then? A few or a lot? A lot, yeah. Out of that mass of disciples, Jesus chose 12. He chose 12, whom also he named apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28 says, "And God set some in the church first apostles." In those 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus met with his church on multiple occasions. He was with the church through that entire 40 days. That's a month and 10 days with Jesus literally walking around after he rose from the dead. How many people do you think saw Jesus? Now, it wasn't one or two or 10 or 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas." Who's that? That's Peter. "Then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." That's not talking about you, Daryl. These were dead. "After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles." And then Paul tells us that he himself is also an eyewitness. "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." Jesus empowered his church by baptizing them in his Holy Spirit. We're going to read this. This is another 10 or 11 verses. It won't hurt you to listen to a little extra of God's word today, don't you think? This is Luke writing. He said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with him, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'You have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." John is the baptizer. Water is the element into which they were baptized. Jesus is the baptizer. His church was baptized by him into his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said unto them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power.'" I want you to get this right here. This is important. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus,'" get this, "'this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heavens, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" Folks, Jesus is coming. The same one. The same one who suffered and bled and died and paid your debt. The same one that they put in a grave and wrapped him all up in grave clothes and left him laying on a stone slab inside a new tomb. The same one that after three full days and three full nights walked through the walls of that tomb and rose again. And he is here with us today. The promise of power in verse 8 is not the same kind of power that Jesus gave them in Matthew 28:18. This one is different. This Greek word is different. This word is dunamis. You can read the definition. This is literal ability. If I push this pulpit off the stage, it's going to take some physical power to do that. That would be dunamis. I don't have authority to do that, so I'm not going to. But do you get it? You see the difference? Jesus not only gave them authority, he gave them the strength and the ability to get it done. Let me ask you something. Did those people he was talking to in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, did they take the gospel to all Judea and all Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth? Did those individual Christians do that? They're nodding. How long do you think that it took to get the gospel all the way to Dickinson, Texas from Jerusalem? Well, so those guys are all still around. I could meet them and find them somewhere. No, they're not. They died. All of them. Every one of those people that we're reading about is in heaven. But here we are, preaching the gospel, people getting saved in Dickinson, Texas. Here we are, Lighthouse Baptist Church, a literal descendant. And I said literal, a literal descendant of that church in Jerusalem. Every real church is a literal descendant of that church in Jerusalem. This promise that he gave them is here in Matthew chapter 28. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The New Testament commands of the Lord. That's our job to teach. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? In the last part of the Great Commission, Jesus commanded his church, and I'll tell you why I know it's his church that he's talking to here in a minute. He commanded them to teach the ones they could win, the ones that would listen, and when they trusted Jesus to baptize them, we've been doing that, and to teach them all the things he commanded them. And then he promised them his presence. He promised his presence. Lo, I will be with you all the way to the end of the world. That's how I know he's here, at least one of the ways, because he keeps his word. This causes us to consider several things. These 11 men, even though they were disciples of the Lord, and they were elders of the first church and the only church in existence at that time, they would not make it to the end of the world, none of them. They would die. That's going to happen to us, maybe before the end of the world, maybe not. We understand that Jesus is not speaking to them as individual Christians. Individual Christians do not have the authority that Jesus put in his church and only in his church. I've baptized a bunch of you, but I in and of myself never had any authority to baptize one of you. Not one. That authority was given to me by Lighthouse Baptist Church, by you, the congregation. That's how it works. As we observe the Bible pattern of future churches being developed, we see that churches come from churches. Every one of the churches in the Bible came from another church that's mentioned in the Bible. The church in Antioch came from the church of Jerusalem. All the churches in Galatia came from the church at Antioch. This church came from Berean Baptist Church. And they came from their mother church up in Fort Worth, Texas. And it goes back, and it just keeps going back and back. And every one of the daughter churches inherited the same power and the same authority as the mother. When men go out and start churches without proper authority, regardless of how they look or how well-intended the founders of such might be, these are not real churches. I'm sorry, but you can't just decide you know more than I do and know more than the doctrine we stand for in this church and go out and start your own church. Only Jesus tells me what to do. We can teach whatever doctrine we want. Well, you can try. It's been tried. It's been tried out of here. I have a name for those churches. It's not in my notes, so you're not going to be able to find it to put it on the board. But I refer to them as lizard tail churches. You know what happens when a lizard gets in trouble? His tail breaks off. And it looks alive, still moving. But it's not. The appearances of life, but life is not there. And pretty soon it'll quit moving. And it'll be done. This explains the thousands of so-called churches preaching works for salvation and other false doctrines that are out there today. Most of them are celebrating Easter Sunday today, but we're celebrating the resurrection today. These are explained in Scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So was Jesus' plan a success? The results say it was. You know, I haven't really spent much time explaining all the things that "so send I you" means. Jesus said, "Even as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." We are here, nearer to the end than ever before, nearer the end of the world than ever before. Still preaching the same gospel. Still perpetuating new and more churches. Still practicing the same ordinances. Still teaching the same doctrine. The exact same doctrine. Just like Jesus promised. You're not here because of good leaders and great pastors. You're here because Jesus promised we'd be here. And we have his authority and we have his power. I'm proud and thankful to be a part of what Jesus set in motion the very day, the very same day that he rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead to take care of business. And this is his business. Jesus is in the church business. He is the head of this church. Nobody else. And it's our responsibility to follow him and to do what he told us to do and keep doing what he told us to do. Whatever that cost may be. Let's stand together. Praise team's going to come and sing a stand invitation. Justin mentioned something this morning during the early service. He said, in a crowd this size, and I think this crowd about the same size as that one was, he said, there's likely somebody here that's never put your trust in Jesus. Oh, I understand most of us have what in the Bible calls first trust. That means we know who the one is that paid for our sin. We know what he did and why. But first trust isn't enough. The Bible says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There comes a time, once you learn who Jesus really is, he's God in the flesh, and what he did, he paid your debt. There comes a time that you need to put your trust in him to do this for you. A gift isn't really a gift until it's received. Won't you receive his gift today? No, I'm too embarrassed to come forward and pray this prayer with you. I'm not going to ask you to pray a prayer in the first place. I'm not even going to ask you to come forward. You can if you want to. It won't hurt. What I'm going to ask you to do is what Jesus asked me to do, and that is to trust him. Put your trust in
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
To be born again, we know a birth requires a birthday. The pastor that led me to Jesus, that showed me the truth, he was saved on Resurrection Sunday. And that was so many years ago, I don't even know, but it was a long time ago. Maybe you'd like to be a part of a real church. There's not that many. There's a lot of phonies. But whatever your need is, the Lord Jesus will fulfill it.